Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, ready for some football, Joe?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited that we have right. something juicy to
we
chew
do have
on
something
from yesterday.
A little juicy. Before. Give us a ring on this. Give us a call on this. Have a poll up both in the chat and on Twitter about what the Bills should do with the 30th pick. There's now going to be some TJ Watt speculation because he posted a picture of himself giving the peace sign. I don't know if that's related to Pat McAfee's show in Pittsburgh last night, because there was one of those big events where he has everybody on stage. T.J. Watt was not there, right? I did not see T.J. Watt there.
I didn't see any reference to him even with that.
Anyway, so T.J. Watt, first round, 30th pick, trade it for T.J. Watt, trade it for Trey Hendrickson, or just draft a player. What's the best use of that? What's the best use of that 30th pick? Trade it for T.J. Watt. Trade for Trey Hendrickson, attempt to, if these teams would accept these trades, or just draft a player. So you can vote on that and let us know what you think. I mean, I guess I could have put trade down in there. I'm seeing some trade down energy, which someone explained to me like I'm five how trading down makes sense for the Bills.
Well, of course, what you're going to want to do is you're going to take the position that you want and you're going to trade down to let the Chiefs draft the same position first, and then you'll draft it after. That's what.
How many jobs do they have available, the Bills? How many jobs do they have available? Three?
They have a starting corner available. They have a rotational defensive tackle spot available.
Okay.
At the one technique, right, specifically.
Yep.
They have another outside receiver rotational spot available.
Okay. I feel like you're at like 2.5 jobs. What else? Kicker?
They have, well, this is the tough thing. They have a defensive end spot probably for like 6 weeks at least because of suspension. But is it available after that? Like, if Michael Hoyt wasn't suspended, then you might say there isn't one, but there's going to have to be somebody that plays early in the year.
A safety spot? We'll say there's a safety spot available?
I don't think that's...
You don't think so?
A guy could come in, certainly be drafted there, and come in over top of everybody, but if they walk into the season with this safety room, they're fine, aren't they? They have Bishop and... I'm not saying they're great, but they have the guys. They have Bishop and Rapp. And then they have Hamlin and Forrest, two guys who have started in the league as your backups.
All right, let's keep going. Is there a lineman, an offensive line job available?
No. Nowhere.
Is there a running back job available? Probably no.
Not unless Cook's gone.
No quarterback. No tight end?
Third tight end,
Quentin Morris, if he comes back, right? Because they let Quentin Morris go and they could bring him back.
He's visited with other teams.
Sure.
So.
How many jobs? Four?
Yeah, there's not many.
How many picks do they have?
10?
10?
I think it's 10 or 11.
Trade down for more? What? I guess we're going the scratch-off routine. I want to draft 13 players and decide in 3 months which ones are the good ones.
That's always my hiccup or hold up with that mentality, is that the idea that you can figure out when you have that many picks and when every year this happens. I mean, the Bills almost every year say goodbye to multiple of their draft picks because they don't have room on the roster for them. So guys in the 6th and 7th round, like, you know, Daquan Hardy, I mean, he made the practice squad, Nick Broeker, Alex Austin, Luke Tenuta, these are all draft picks of the Bills that didn't make it out of camp. Why? Because, you have too many guys, and I just don't believe that anyone can realistically know what a guy's going to be, not just when they draft him, after a month of practice.
Yeah.
No game action whatsoever, not a season. You got to make a determination of who the best guys are through training camp. Training camp can lie to you. Khalil Shakir had a bad training camp 2 years ago, and then he was great by the end of the season.
Right. Tyrell Shavers had a great training camp and then saw the field, like, what, once?
Yeah, he did score on it. But.
He did. Josh Allen lost the job to Nathan Peterman at training camp.
There you go. I mean, that's really, it should have been Exhibit A.
Just right. Whether it lies to you or it's not the right timeline or whatever it might be, the Bills are in a win-now window, of course. They just went through an offseason where they got rid of all their captains and turned it over and brought in a bunch of players. They signed a good number of players in free agency. They added, what, 3 defensive players that are going to play a lot or a considerable amount in Hoyt and Ogunjobi and Bosa?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Trade down for more picks. I don't see the more picks thing being a good idea. Well, I saw Dan Fates had a, I think it was, he was talking with Field Yates, and he asked him what the ideal scenario is. Dan Fates of Buffalo Plus, the YouTube Buffalo Plus with Jenna and Mike Catalana. And Field's answer was trade down to get some spots in the third round. That's the sweet spot of the draft. And like, all right, if you want to draft 5 third rounders and call it a day, I could listen to that, but I don't know.
Why do I need it?
Yeah. I don't think there are that many jobs. And for them to come out of this draft class with 12 players, I would say get 6 of them on your mind right now to say goodbye, and they're going to the practice squad. And the Bills, listen, they value depth, as they should. And they've been a good organization, I think, with player development and depth. But I am not really here to listen to filling out the bottom of the roster. Don't we all think the thing that they most likely need is one more piece that's at the top? Whether that's TJ Watt or Trey Hendrickson, or if that's Michael Hoyt's the chess piece that can help their defense, or if it's the corner number 2 to go with Benford. Like, we're thinking about the top of the roster and stacking one guy on the top to push everybody else down. At least I am.
Yeah.
More so than I'm thinking of 6 guys at the bottom.
Yeah, no, me too. I was listening to Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson on their podcast yesterday, and they were going through needs of every team in the league. They get to the Bills, what's the first thing they say? Pretty good roster. The strength is the depth of it, right? It's the depth of it. It's not the top of it. It's that they have professional, reliable players, 2-3 deep even sometimes, at almost every position. That's not the need. It's the need is the star-level player at the top. So to answer the original question, Like, to me, the idea would be, if I can get my hands on, spend assets on getting a TJ Watt or a Trey Hendrickson, that wasn't one of the jobs we listed, was like starting defensive end. They don't need it. If they walk into the season with Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau and everybody else behind them, they're completely fine. But what I'm trying to do is get the I'm trying to get star players on this roster. And by doing that, you will be pushing others down, maybe into better depth roles. So my answer would be, if it costs 30 to go get a star level pass rusher, and I'm back to two, right? I'm back to two maybes. At the beginning of the offseason, there were two maybes. It was Garrett and it was Max Crosby. And neither of those guys left. They both re-upped. And then it was down to zero, like, great ideas, when Hendrickson was reportedly going to figure out a deal with Cincinnati. That hasn't happened. Now I feel like I'm right back to where we started. Yeah. Other than, I don't think either guy is as sure a thing as Garrett was for the long term. Like, Garrett was, you're going to get him, and it's going to be great for 5 years. And these two, I don't know how long it'll be great for. I feel pretty confident, though, it'd be great this year, right? Like, they've been awesome last year. Hendrickson leading the league in sacks, and Watt having a down year, which for a down year for him was second in the league in pass rush grade, and he had 11 and a half sacks. Like, to me, you're not getting a player of that caliber for this season anywhere in the draft unless you get extremely lucky. So I don't know why it would be any different for me, the beginning of the offseason to now, other than you're just not getting a guy that's probably as good or as expensive, by the way, as Myles Garrett would have been.
TJ Watt was the 30th pick, right? In 2017?
He was a late first. Yeah. So
the coincidence here is, you know, would you trade the 30th pick? The Steelers would use him up for 7 years, get 104 sacks, an incredible player, and then get the 30th pick right back for him, if in fact they want to trade him again. Right. The Watt thing is speculation. The Hendrickson part is the Bengals have said they want a first plus. I'll listen to that. What's the plus got to be? First and a fourth? I would do that. First and a, I mean, I can't go higher than that. I want to go first and second. I probably might even consider. You could talk
That'd
me
be a
into
lot.
A lot. But you could talk me into a lot. Hendrickson is one of the elite pass rushers, top 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, very good. I'm not even convinced defensive end is their biggest need. But,
right.
I mean, whether it's corner, defensive tackle, wide receiver, like, they have a couple of needs, but not many. I also had a good comment. Somebody wrote in on Twitter and asked this question. All right, so how many jobs are available next year? And the answer to that is also not that many. They just extended a bunch of guys.
Right.
How many jobs are available next year? Is the line changing over? I mean, you might start to look at Deion Dawkins and think, where's my next left tackle coming from in a couple seasons?
Yeah.
Spencer Brown's extended. Osiris Torrance is young. You might need to do something with expiring contracts on the interior with Connor McGovern and David Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
But Milano?
Running back.
I've got a full bevy of draft picks next year, too.
Right.
There's just not really, to me, it doesn't seem smart. It feels like diminishing returns if I'm out there thinking, well, I got to make sure I fill jobs that are available next year with draft picks I'm stowing on the practice squad. This team needs elite players. They need to find their way to more elite players. What are the we do it all the time. The Chiefs and Bills. What's the biggest difference between them? You might want to say it's Andy Reid. You might want to say it's XYZ. They have had three players in the top 10 for the last however many years. And more past that. And what do the Bills have? On the top 100 last year, it was Allen and Dawkins. And that's mm-hmm. it. You need a few more bodies on that list. What do the Eagles have in terms of top 100 players?
Oh, my goodness.
A.J. Brown, three defensive players.
Barkley
now. Probably going to make it. Barkley. Just
Jalen Carter.
I need to find my way to names at the top. And I won't dispute one of the avenues to get those is a lot of lottery tickets. I just don't love your chances of, oh, yeah, in the sixth round, when we traded down and got an extra pick with the sixth rounder, we took a guy that ends up being, you know, T.J. Watt. Or whoever. Or Diggs. You know, like a Diggs-caliber player comes in the fifth round. I know that those are out there. That doesn't seem like a really bankable plan going in.
But this is where they kind of are acting from a position of strength. That, okay, even if they make the trade that you just mentioned, a first and a fourth for Trey Hendrickson. They do that. Well, it's not like you wouldn't still have lottery tickets. The Dolphins, was it, I'm looking right now, 2 years ago, they make all those trades. They get Bradley Chubb, and of course they had acquired Tyreek Hill before that, and Jalen Ramsey. The Dolphins had back-to-back drafts where they only had four picks total.
Right, four.
Four. Four in each of two drafts. If the Bills make the trade you're talking about, they still are going to have eight picks, right? They're still going to have all these lottery tickets. Not 10. I should get the number exact. Is it 10 or is it 11? Whatever it is. But they're going to have a good amount of picks still on day three. I know a lot of, but you still have 2 seconds. And if you're worried about filling in, I think one counterpoint you could make, we got calls on this, maybe they're waiting to say it, that you could make about this trade is, well, what I'm spending my most premium asset left on a position that's no longer my biggest need. And I think right now the number one need seems to be corner. But if you play out the scenario of they make a trade like that and then say, okay, so what we're going to have to do now is we're going to have to address this corner need in round two. And we've got two selections to be able to do it wherever we want. Are we that worried about the idea of a second-round rookie starting right away for the Bills at corner when Dane Jackson is kind of your in case of emergency if he's not ready to go? Like, how different is that really from first round? It is different, but that's a position where the Bills have proved over the years they almost plug anybody in there and get at least pretty good results. Like, my downside just doesn't seem to be that risky at that position in particular if that's the need that I'm passing on by making a trade like this.
Right. And if you were to spend 30, 56, and 62 on your three biggest needs, who knows if those players hit? I feel like everybody'd be happy. To a point. Yeah. Hey, they traded the first-round pick in a deal for Hendrickson, and then with the 56th pick, they took a corner. Mm-hmm. How different is that than the 30th pick comes up, and they take the edge rusher that's young,
right,
and then they use 56 or 62 on a corner? They have 10 picks in the first 206 of the draft. They don't have a seventh-rounder. They have two fifths, three sixths, two fourths, 2 seconds. 10 picks in the first 206.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well scratch off three of the guys, at least three of the guys, not making the team. We'll get some calls on this at 803-0550. By the way, they had a couple other names added, and this is something I'm going to want to get to, of course. The chart, or the tracking yesterday, the
top
number one
visits.
The number one position they've brought in. We've told the story that Pittsburgh has used 8 of its 30 visits on running backs, which is hilarious. The Bills, the tracker right now, yesterday, the number one position going into yesterday was wide receiver with 5. Add another one. They're at 6.
Okay.
They've had 6 wide receivers in for visits, and that is number one of any position they've had in for top 30 visits. The one that you add to the list now is Jalen Royals of Utah State, wide receiver. So, 6 speed receivers. That might be because they're going to use the second or maybe into the fourth or... Who knows? Maybe they want to trade down out of the second to get a third because, and we'll have to give credence to the idea that Bean loves third round picks.
Yeah.
But whatever. You mean you have enough picks and you don't have that many jobs. I feel like the idea of a Hendrickson trade or a Watt trade, you know, the Metcalf idea when that was out there, the Myles Garrett idea when that was out there, all these to me seemed like good ideas. I view them as a team that can both, Joe, get the idea of a finishing piece and still get depth. Like you said, it's not Miami where they have 4 picks.
Right.
We'll get some calls in. 803-0550. We'll go to Dennis in Williamsville. First up is Dennis. Hey, Dennis, good morning.
Hey, guys. So a couple things here. I first would just have to recognize the fact that Bean has really struggled in the first round, especially in the back end of the first round. So to stay there and just say that and assume that things are going to go well, I think is just knowing the guy and his history, I think that that's a little troubling. It doesn't mean it's going to go bad, but I just don't necessarily love the chances. So that's one. The second thing is I did a little bit of an exercise using the draft chart and a mock draft simulator thing and kind of moving around, and I was able to move back out of the first round. So I don't want to explain this like you're 5 years old, Jeremy. I remember it's you saying that. Not like that. But I like this idea, moving out of 30 and moving back about five spots is where I moved back to and picked up a third rounder, but also had to give up a sixth rounder for that. Fine.
So a double pick slide, which is what they just did in the Worthy trade, a double pick slide.
Right, and then I was able to also trade all the fourth round and fifth round picks and move up and get, I ended up with six picks in the top 100 and one sixth rounder left over. And that, to me, now you're coming out of the draft with seven picks. Even though you move back, you're not gaining more picks. You're using all of
higher
your
picks.
Ammo to move up everything into the top 100 that you possibly can.
Right.
And get as many top-level guys as you can get. That I love that.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. There's a lot of different ways to do this. There's even, and this might be going to an extreme, Joe, a law of diminishing returns. If you had 10 second-round picks, how many could make the team? How many make the – like we just kind
of
laid out.
It
you have
be all of them.
You have 3 months to decide which are the best ones. And, oh, by the way, if 10 of them make the team, then you're cutting other players. And maybe you like that idea, but now you're unseating A.J. Epinesa or you're unseating – Curtis Samuel, or not to say that anybody is totally protected, but you know they've made their commitments to some players. I just don't think they need that many players, that many spots. And the pick slides, you know, if we look at the process of the Worthy trade, forget about what Worthy is, forget about Coleman. You know, they did it to move up to take a third rounder, and they get Dwayne Carter in that deal. When they make the trade, they don't know what they're going to get. It's just we think the third will be better than the fourth, and we'll drop five spots to do it. That might be decent process. I don't think there's really that big of a problem with it. I just don't think it's that materially different than just picking the guy that you want. And,
yeah,
could you have had Coleman and then you don't get Dwayne Carter? Right, that's true. Who would you have taken instead? That guy might have been active in the AFC Championship game, the guy that you take instead a round later. So there's almost like this. I get it. The draft is fun. We love talking about it, but you're saying we know no one here is better than anybody else, and the draft Knicks like to celebrate that. It's good to know that you don't know that, but we also do know that picking 63rd is going to be better than picking 75th.
Right?
How can you know that if you don't know the?
Yes, and that's where that argument to me is always a little inconsistent. I always take it a different way than that, is that team like trade down no matter what is, well, you do it because you don't know, but yet you're trading down because you think you know who the guy, you think you know the guy in the sixth round is going to be better than the undrafted guy that I bring in. And how different is that?
Yeah.
Is that really that different? Because how many guys get drafted in the sixth or seventh round that wouldn't have even been drafted by another team in the first place? Like that to me, the draft doesn't end there. Like you add, Sal says it every all the time. You bring 90 players to camp. They're going to sign a bunch of undrafted guys, and a lot of undrafted guys throughout their careers have turned into something too. I don't need to force more day three picks when I already have too many, because if that's the worry, is I just want as many lottery tickets as possible, go sign seven undrafted guys. Those are lottery tickets.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker. Going to go right back to the phones. Got some people waiting patiently as we've been asking you today to put together your perfect Bills draft. When you wake up Sunday morning after the draft is done, what does it look like? You tell us. We go to Bill in Old Forge next. What do you got for us, Bill?
Hey, guys. I've called before, and like I'm the complete opposite of in being we trust. I think he's average. I don't think he's horrible. But I think he's average, and to some extent, I think he's, the past 3 to 5 years, I think he's been holding the team back. I mean, you're going to win a bunch of games. The Bills are really good. A lot of it has to do with Josh Allen playing quarterback. A lot of it has to do with McDermott as coach. I think with those two guys, you're going to win a ton of games. But, like, the whole narrative that, like, he's moving all over the board, and he's got all these picks, and he knows when to trade back and trade up. I mean, he's traded up in the first two rounds. Cody Ford, Boogie Basham, and the most recent ones popping in my mind, and they did absolutely nothing here. Boogie Basham and Cody Ford were basically busts in Buffalo, and he traded up for them both in the second round. I believe he traded up for Zach Moss in the third years back. He did nothing here. So I'm kind of over the whole, oh, Beaton's a genius, and he knows how to move over the board. Last year he traded back. The jury's still out on that. We don't know, but, like, that may have turned out to be not that great of a move. I think he's overrated as a GM. I just think he is. It doesn't mean he's horrible. I just think he's average. We keep addressing the same positions, it seems, all the time. Defensive end, defensive tackle. Now we need a corner because Kyrie Elam turned out to be a nobody. And we're looking for a corner still. Whereas Benford was a hit later in the rounds, which I think it's more of a crapshoot later in the rounds. It is first three rounds. The first three rounds, I would think the guys jump off the tape a little more, so you kind of have an idea of who's probably going to be pretty good. And in the later rounds, maybe you're taking more of a flyer on positions in need just to get a guy. Benford turned out to be really good, but I look at it this way. That doesn't make the Elam pick not a big deal, because if Elam turned out to be good too, we'd have two corners right now, and we wouldn't be drafting a corner again in the first possibly two to three rounds, you know what I mean? We'd have two corners already. So it just seems like they keep drafting D-line, pass rusher, and corner all the time. And I think a lot of it has to do with it. Bean hasn't hit on these guys in the first three rounds. And so we keep rehashing it over and over again. I mean, that's my take. It's not to say they're not a good team. They're a really good team. They'll probably be in the AFC Championship again. I just think he kind of holds the team back a little bit. I mean, that's just my opinion on it anyway.
Yep. Yeah. And I'd say this. I said it earlier. There, you'll find people that go to bat for him, and you'll find people like you that – you know, you're not that sold on him. He's just another guy as a GM, I guess is the best way to put it. And until this team, until the organization, you know, hits the home run and goes and wins the Super Bowl, you're always going to have the reasons and the people who will, you know, you can throw darts at them because they're not perfect. And even the guys who win it, you know, you're never perfect, but still, you know, you can look at the scoreboard and you win. So, this is still a team that, you're right, it's right at the top of the league elites. Josh has a lot to do with it. Everybody thinks that Brandon should, he doesn't get any credit for that, even though he traded for 16 months to make that happen. And he's the guy that, and they picked him, picked Josh, and half the people in the country thought it was stupid. Half of them didn't. And if you go down this, and I've done this, and I didn't spend much time doing it, I did a little bit, but you go down the list of every other GM, there's very few GMs that don't have a ton of misses. You know, they have as many misses as Brandon Bean does.
I think what
it's just that's the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, and you said yourself, the draft is somewhat of a crapshoot, and it is. And that's why I think people need to look at GMs like baseball players, because very good baseball players who are in the Hall of Fame hit the ball 30% of the time. And only one in the history of baseball has hit it 40% of the time in his career, Ted Williams. Or hit 400 in a season, I should say. He batted 344 for his career and considered the best hitter ever. 34% of the time he hit the ball. The draft is very similar in terms of hit rate. If you bat 300 in the NFL as a general manager, you're among the best of the best. You hit 400, you are elite. So think about that. You hit on 40% of your draft picks, you are elite. That's how hard it is. So, yeah, what does that mean? That means 60% of the time, you're swinging and missing. So, yeah, every GM that has done this has had misses. Some bigger than others, but every single one of them has missed the mark. Because it is an inexact science. You're dealing with human beings, not robots. And you're also dealing with an innumerable amount of other variables.
Yeah.
Fit on the team, role they're playing, scheme they're playing in, who they're being coached by on a daily basis, who their teammates are, who they can capably play off of better on the field of play, how good the offense is to help the defensive side of the ball where they're playing. So it's all of those things that contribute to how successful or how unsuccessful a pick can be. The Bills, for the most part, have a lot of things right. And it's why a lot of their picks have matured into very good players that contribute week in and week out. And we could go through middle round examples of hits and misses for Brandon Bean, just like we can do in the first round.
Yeah, and it's the thing about it too is availability. The Bills right now, as it stands, this may change. As we all know, it may change. They're picking the 30th, the 56th, the 62nd. There, you have no idea what players are going to be available at those picks. And in response to that, the Bills have got to go out and scout the league. The Bills don't, but the league keeps track of 12 to 1,400 kids who are going to be in the NFL in the next 12 or 14 months. And that's over the next 2 years. Guys are on the league's radar.
Yeah.
Teams, the Bills, are going to look at like a few hundred kids that they may have a shot at drafting. And if they don't draft, they might have to sign a free agency. And a number of those kids that they really like will never be available to them. And the problem is there might be 10 of them that they really like, and they can only pick one of them. And even that kid is not going to be a guarantee. There's just so many things about the availability, who they're able to draft, what guys are available when they draft. Is it a smart thing to draft the kid then or wait and get him later and take a shot at another kid? We can all see that's the difficulty of being a GM in the NFL. And if you want to have a little bit of a sobering exercise, go out and look around at other GMs. That's who you're gonna. You don't compare Brandon Bean with Brandon Bean. You compare him to all the other guys that are doing the exact same job,
and you'll
find out that he compares pretty favorably.
And I'll do it for you. Homegrown players on the Bills roster, 62.7%. It's fifth best in the league. Homegrown players, draft picks.
And they were in the championship game last year.
It's almost two-thirds of your roster. So it is what it is. Let's go to CJ in Buffalo. What's up, CJ?
Hey guys, how you doing? I respectfully disagree with Billy. Sorry, but Brandon Bean is called Big Baller Bean, not because of what he does in the draft, but what he does behind closed doors with contracts. He's phenomenal. It's not just the draft, but beyond that. I called to ask you guys a special – hey, happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. I just asked you guys a simple question. It's the off season. I'm just playing with stuff that had never happened. It's pretty much just throwing some rubber at the wall. So I just wanted to see – like, I know we traded for Stephon Diggs, and he was in the shadow of, I think, Adam Thielen when we traded for him. What would be the receiver that you would choose to be, I guess, the next – not the next Stephon Diggs. Nobody can do that. But somebody that you would take all this draft capital we have and take maybe a second and a fourth because we have double – and use that as not a draft pick because those are like just random. You know what you're getting when you trade for somebody. You know exactly who that person is. You know what he does in the league. He's been in the league. Personally, I would say Jameson Williams. That's just me. It's speed. He's phenomenal. I know he's a first-round pick, 12th overall. That's just me, and I know they want somebody bigger, but he's only 6'1". I'm just curious to know who you would go for, whether it's a Waddle that's behind Tyreek Hill or Higgins that's behind Chase. I know those guys are already taken, but just curious to know what your target would be.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd have one, CJ, because it seems evident to me that this team is not moving in that direction. They just finished a season where after the playoffs were over, and they didn't even play in the Super Bowl, so two teams had one more game to play than them, and the Bills scored more points than any of them, 612 by the end of the Super Bowl. Nobody scored more points than them, and they did it without a number one receiver. So I think you'd be hard-pressed to convince them right now to use a bunch of draft capital to trade for a proven receiver in the league, take on salary that they probably don't want to take on at this point in time, and feel that they're going to be demonstrably better. I think they felt, they proved, they can be the best offense in football when it comes to scoring points without a number one. And so I don't think there's this burning desire, at least in this building, for them to get one. And because of that, I don't see them doing anything that you suggested. That doesn't mean they're not going to draft a wideout. Maybe it comes on day three. Maybe they add a burner to the roster to help them on special teams as a young player, and maybe that guy can matriculate into a role in the top five. But unless someone falls in their lap that no one's expecting, you know, Isaiah Bond's still on the board at pick 62.
Right.
I can't see them taking a receiver early.
Yeah.
I think late they take a flyer on a fast guy, sure. Beyond that, no.
I get it. People, and maybe it's a trend, but I think the Bills are maybe a little ahead of it. Let's face it, they don't have a $30 million wide receiver on this roster.
And I think it's by design.
Yeah. I think it's kind of the way they want it. I think – you can do things like that when you got Josh. And I think the Bills are smart to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Everybody worries about, man, you got to make sure Josh is happy. You got to make sure Josh is. Listen, Josh is okay. He was the MVP.
Yeah.
You got to lean on his abilities and maximize being able to do so much lets you spread out the rest of your assets and build everything else up. Now, and we've been sitting here for 2 months or 3 months talking about the defensive side of the ball. Get it up to that. Get it, you know, to hold up their end of the table a little better. And I think that's a smart thing to do. But I don't think they got Josh.
They had 100 catch receiver for four straight years. They did better offensively now than they did then.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We are loaded with phone calls, and I love it. Let's get to Mark in West Seneca. Talking Bills draft, first three picks, how they look for you, what you'd like to see. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, thanks.
It's good. Hey, I tried to lay this scenario out yesterday with Steve and Brownie on One Bills Live, and he got a little confused. I think it's very...
Well, try to keep it succinct then. I will not be confused, and I have a bunch of phone calls, so do it the best you can with focusing my attention on what you want.
Okay, quickly. I'd love to see him take number 30, trade back into the second round. I don't care where they end up, okay? And with that, pick up a third rounder. Then take that third rounder and parlay that with whatever you need to out of our fourth, fifth, and sixth rounders. I don't care if it's both fourths, whatever it is. And move into the second round again, thus ending up with four.
Okay, hold on. I got this. I'm writing it down. I want to make sure I got the flow chart right. Third, go back into the second.
Right. So you would end up.
You'd end up now with three twos.
You would end up with four
and a third.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right.
Yep.
There, yeah.
Yep. After the and then you would in the hold on. And then you would take. You would take a third and what to go back into the second. I think the issue, first of all, I would have is you got to make sure everything falls in time to do this, right? Like, because a lot of times these trades happen when you're on the clock when you're that late. These are not trades that happen today, you know what I mean? But go ahead.
Well, think about it. If the first round is just one day. So after the first round ends and you make that pick to make that trade to drop into the second and pick up the third, now you've got the whole night and the next day to take that third and parlay it with whatever you need to move into the second round then.
So okay, what's the end game, Mark? Why are you doing all this?
So I end up with four picks in the top 64, and I can take four defensive players if I want, or even scratch that wide receiver itch everybody seems to always have, take a wide receiver and three defensive players, whatever combination of defensive players that they want.
So you would rather have four picks in the top 64 than three in the top 62?
Yes, without a doubt.
That's fine, and yeah, I agree. That, but I'm saying to go down. You would rather go down, not have number 30. You would drop down for one extra pick in that same time frame. You would drop down. I don't know if that's worth it because you're picking 30 and you're dropping all the way down. If you're only going to get one extra pick in that group, I'd still rather be picking a little higher, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but the word is that I've been listening to since draft Knicks have been talking. There's not a lot of difference.
Agreed.
In all of those, all those spots, all those numbered picks from what 15 down to the end of the second round. So,
Mark, you're not wrong. I agree with that. I'm not even pushing back. I think for me, it's more about value, though, and getting those rounds. But you're right about that. You know, more cracks in those rounds. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Good thought. Thank you for explaining that. Let's go to Butch on the East Side. What's up, Butch?
My brother from another beautiful mom. Thanks for taking my call. I love WGR, I love MSG, and to all the fans who watch and listen, Butch from the East Side, I love you dearly. Listen, bro, I got something to tell you, and that's serious. People talk about drafting a wide receiver, all right? I'm going to put that to bed. Reason why, bro, put it this way, in the first round, second round, put that to bed. Reason why, I really believe Buffalo is going to give Terrell Shavers the opportunity that he deserves and put him in that tree, that wide receiver room, and give him a real opportunity to make that 53. That's my opinion.
Well, let me stop you right there. I'm going to give you a virtual high five. We are in agreement here. Whether it's Tyrell Shavers is fine, and I don't disagree with that part, but excuse me, I agree with you 100%, Butch, that I'd be stunned if they took a wide receiver. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like you said, Sal, with the exception of McMillan, I'm going to use one wide receiver. Forget Bowles and forget all the rest of the Texas wide receivers. I'm going to use Melon. If McMillan drops out of the top 15 and go all the way to 30, I see him maybe trying to get him. They might not even get him. But knowing Brandon Bean, he's going to take the best player available at that point. I can see it. But really, we don't need him, you know, to be honest. We have enough receivers that didn't give me, like I said before, didn't even get the opportunity. KJ Hamlin. It's a lot of receivers that never really got the opportunity that can add to what we have. Plus, Palmer's here. We have tight ends. We have enough people to throw the ball to. Not saying we wouldn't need somebody else, because I have a player I'm going to speak about in a minute that plays that position, but we're not going to take him as early. Now, saying that, this is the year that Brandon Bean solidifies the defensive line for years to come. I really believe we get a couple of D tackles. I really believe we get maybe a corner and leave it at that. Now, moving back in the second, maybe in the last half of the draft, Sal, and thanks for taking my call. I want you to kiss the queen for me and give my nephew a high five, please, and tell them both I love them. But I want to say about teaching. We get a lot of players from a lot of different colleges, but let's look at somebody in Colorado. When you got the Deion Sanders, teachings, et cetera. Look at a Jimmy Horn Jr. Look at a Shiloh Sanders. Maybe Beckett in the fifth round, the fourth round. You're bringing two players in here who were really taught well, that really could come into our team and our shelf and add to what we have later on in the draft. They're ready to go. They've been taught like pros. They've been acting like pros. They've been around pros. Nothing, the lights is not going to be big for these two kids. And I just want Buffalo maybe to look at that Colorado program, and look at a Jimmy Horn Jr. as a receiver. You can put him in a room later on, or put him on a practice squad or whatever. And a Shiloh Sanders who could come in and play maybe a safety or a special teamers, et cetera. It's something to look at. But I love you, my brother, man. And I take care of yourself. And thanks so much for taking Butch's call, bro.
You're the best, buddy. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. That is Butch on the East Side. Good stuff right there. Yeah. Shiloh Sanders, I don't know. I mean, he's not considered a huge prospect, but we'll see. Obviously, great bloodlines. We know that. Rob in Tonawanda. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
My name's not Sal, but I am Italian, so we got that in common.
I got another Sal on hold, believe it or not. I'm going to get to him in a minute. So,
oh, my God.
Unbelievable, I know. Go ahead, I know.
Anyway, I was watching the Super Bowl, and I know everyone's talking about how amazing the Eagles' defensive line was, which they definitely were. But what I noticed more than anything is that their corners and their linebackers covered like glue. And they weren't, they kept their bodies facing the quarterbacks instead of chasing the receivers or the backs, and gave Mahomes no targets to access. And that's what I think was a key component to the Philadelphia front line, D-line, doing what they did. So I believe that the Bills should focus in on cornerbacks and linebackers in the draft.
Interesting. Linebackers, I can't agree with that. But I do know that, with Matt Milano's contract restructure, as of now, probably looks like he's not going to be here in 2026. But Brandon Bean said that's still possible. I mean, if he has a really good year, they could re-sign him. They don't need another middle linebacker. I don't agree about the linebackers. I think that they have to concentrate on D-line. Their linebackers are good. They have good linebackers. They have to stay healthy at linebackers, what it is. And maybe this is part of your point, but man, you got Terrell Bernard, you got Joe Andreessen behind him who looked really good last year. And then, of course, Dorian Williams led the team in tackles last year when he filled in for Matt Milano. So don't agree about the linebackers, but I appreciate the call and I understand the thought. Another Sal. Truly another Sal? Is it Sal in North Tonawanda? What's up, Sal?
Sal, hello, sir. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you. I'm a huge fan of the local amateur sports around here. Real quick side story. The first ever Buffalo State game I got to watch on TV when Time Warner Cable was a thing. You were actually the commentator on it, and it was a fantastic game against Cortland. I'll never forget it. It was pretty cool to see you. But staying on the point of the local amateur sports, big UB guy here. You know, was with them through the thick and thin. You know, through the days where we were living high with the boys like Naaman Roosevelt and James Starks, to when things got a little low with Coach Quinn. But now we're back on the rise. What do we think of Sean Dolak coming out, and where do we think he's going to go? Is he going to get drafted, or maybe possibly after the draft? What are your thoughts, Val?
Sal, first of all, thanks for all that. I appreciate it. Yeah, man. You know, it's been a while since I've done some of that color commentary play-by-play for some of the local college scene, but done that over the years, ESPN Plus, UB Women, UB Men, Buff State, whether it's basketball, football, hockey. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. At this point, I think Sean Dolak's going to get drafted. And if you would have asked me that a month ago, I don't know if I would have said that because he was not invited to any combine, any bowl game. And generally, they do that based by how they kind of read the room a little bit and get a feel. And I think we all know that all these people who make these decisions miss the mark in some capacity with Sean Dolak, right? Then he has his pro day and he just blows it away. And he would have been like in the top five or six of linebackers on speed, on strength, you know, the bench press, the 40, all that kind of stuff. I think Sean Dolak's getting drafted on day three. I don't know if he's a fit for the Bills. I know people would love him here. He'd have to compete basically with Joe Andreessen and or Dorian Williams. And yeah, as much as I just said, maybe this is Matt Milano's last year. We don't know how that's going to play out. Could very well be. You still got to compete with Joe Andreessen, Dorian Williams, and Eddie Ulofosio. Like, I don't know where there's a spot for him here. But I'm rooting for him to get drafted, to make a team, to be on a team. I love the local, as you say, the local sports scene. Me too, Sal. As you know, I'm a champion for it here, right? I'd love to highlight local people who do well in any endeavor, but especially our sports scene. You know, like Carlin Hartman, literally like first-team All-Western New York basketball player in 1990. And now he's a national champion basketball coach, associate head coach at the University of Florida. Like, that's a great story. And I love talking about stuff like that. So I would love to see Sean Dolak get drafted and make an impact. And the story of Joe Andreessen was amazing last year because of where he came from and being local, and partly because he wasn't drafted, right? He was just a tryout guy and he got a job and he made the team and all that. I think Dolak could have a very similar type of story, even if he gets drafted, in the regard that everyone kind of counted him out in the pre-draft process. So that would be great. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Bills are sitting really pretty where a really good player is going to fall to them at 30 because of the way the draft kind of plateaus. And then picking at 56 and 62, like, those are two starters right there. So I think the Bills can beef up this defense literally up front with a defensive lineman and Kenneth Grant or Tyreek Williams, get somebody that can help get you off the field as a pass rusher, and then get a coverage safety that can take away the football on the back end. And this defense would be ready to go to war with those three guys.
That is our dude Connor Rogers from NBC and SNY in New York City. Does a lot of draft and fantasy content for those outlets and is a pretty regular guest with us. And talking about the Bills' first three picks, Sal just said, I don't want to exaggerate. It's not a Sal bomb. It's not a Woj bomb here, but Sal left us. He's got a break coming up here. Won't be back until next Thursday's draft special on our show. We'll have Sal and all of our guys, Nate Geary, Sneaky Joe, and Jeremy, will all take turns joining us to rap about the draft. So Sal's got time off between now and then, and he left us at the end of his segment with, he would be surprised if the Bills did not use all three of those picks. What did Connor say there? It's 30, 56, and 62? Are those the 2 seconds? I don't have that memorized yet. I by the draft, I will. But I think that's what he said. Anyway, it's around that. All three picks on defense. How do you think Bills fans would react to that? How do you feel about it? 803-0550. Would you be surprised, like Sal saying, if the Bills didn't use all three of those picks on defenders? I think that's an interesting conversation. I get it. I think it I think it's it could be called. You could make the case. I think it could. I mean, Sale does this for a living. I don't. He's not just coming out of left field with this. Plenty of mock drafts, I think, have gone that route. I wonder how no third round pick too, as it stands right now, right? So you're going into the NFL draft with Josh Allen as your quarterback, and your skill set players are just what's here now. It's not to say you couldn't find Khalil Shakir in round four or round five, like you originally found Khalil Shakir in round five a few years ago, but not using any of your day one or two assets. And again, they have the 2 second rounders that sort of buffers not having a third round pick as of now. Maybe the Bills can find a way to package some of the stuff they've got for Saturday and get into round three at some point. I don't know. But as it stands, if they don't, because I think they'll move around, maybe even, first round, second round, because of the extra stuff they have, but not like really aggressively. And I don't think they'll go add a pick, like a third. Like I don't think they have the ammunition. I don't think a bunch of junk from the sixth round gets you a third round pick, probably, right, is all I'm saying here. Junk is pretty pejorative, but you know what I'm saying. I don't know that they've got that. What they have is, hey, we're sitting here at, whatever pick in the fourth round, and there's a guy we really like and we want to move up two spots. Will you take one of these sixes off our hands? Yeah, like that. I think they'll move like that. So I'll be stunned if they use all 10 picks. But still, if they've got those three on Thursday and Friday, and that's it, and they use them all on defense, and then I don't pick again until Saturday. I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I myself can get behind that. I'm not completely closed off to the idea of them using their first pick on a receiver. If it fell right, like if there's a guy they really like, and for whatever reason he manages to make it down the board that far, and they pounce, because while I think you look at the team on the defensive side of the ball, of course, they need another starting corner. Duh. They need to replenish defensive tackle. You could even say they need a starter at defensive tackle. At the very least, a rotational player. Because I'm not loving what I've seen out of Daquan Jones for the last year plus. Since he came back off that injury late in the 23 season, last season was just not... just wasn't up to snuff, I don't think. So, like, Ed Oliver eats all the heat there because he's got the bigger contract and he's the younger player, ninth overall, supposed to be more of an impact player. He's been somewhat of a letdown, roller coaster ride kind of guy, up and down. There's days you really love him, days you're just like, where is he? But I think the bigger issue they've got is next to him. So I totally get that. Beyond that, I mean... Who are my dangerous players on offense? I mean, I think there is a need there. I say it every day. I think it's okay. They have told us for years here. I remember one of the first meetings I ever had about doing this job way back in the black and white television era. Be repetitive. They lost two receivers in free agency. I mean, Cooper still hasn't signed. I guess that's in the window if you want it. But they lost two, and they brought in one. So, and one of the ones they lost was the closest they had to a true number one receiver, which they went out and got actively on the market during the season when they got into the season and realized, everybody eats, looks good on the billboard, but maybe we need to do something else here. So they did. Forget what the stats are for Cooper and what kind of impact he had, again, statistically mostly, because, you can argue that he opened things up for other guys and, their offense still flourished and okay, fine. But they went out and got a number one receiver to add to the team. It's irrelevant what the end result was. They felt they had the need. So they've not replaced that player. I mean, they just have not. So that's where I think receiver and the idea of them spending all three of those early picks, 2 seconds and a first on defense, I'm not sure I could get 100% behind it. I still think there is a need at receiver. Like Michael always say when he's here, you know, that would be 3 years in a row you've used a premium asset on a pass catcher because of Coleman last year and Kincaid the year before. I get that. I still think it's called for. I mean, they have, to me, a need for that player. And it's not to say that they draft, you know, Matthew Golden falls to 30 and he shows up and turns into their number one receiver. But he'd play outside right away and, you know, hopefully ascend at some point to becoming a guy that could be a go-to guy for you. They have a need, and I don't know where else they're going to find it. I mean, maybe they'll take some flyers on the Chase Claypools of the world again this offseason as we get into the spring or summer. You know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, anyone? I mean, they tried their hand at that. KJ Hamler is still here. They have a need. That's it. I mean, you hear the names I'm saying here? So I think I would object to all three of those picks being used on defense, as much as I've been convinced, like they need to upgrade on defense, and they definitely need a starting corner. Maybe you can find that still in free agency, like Sal just said. I don't know, man. All three of those picks on one side of the ball would be, I think, a tough look for me to get behind. Devin is up first this segment. Hi, Devin. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man.
I think I heard you talking about that you wouldn't be surprised if we used our first three picks on a defender.
Hold it. Sal said that. I'm arriving at the conclusion that I don't think I – well, I don't want to do that, and I wouldn't be surprised if they picked a receiver at 30 or one of the second rounders myself. But Sal thinks they'll use all three on defense.
I wouldn't be surprised if – I feel like I've dove a lot into a lot of the corners that we have into this draft and a lot of the receivers and a lot of the defensive tackles. I think one of our first three picks definitely will be a defensive tackle. But don't be surprised if we blow through them first three picks and we don't draft a corner, because I feel like there's a lot of decent safeties in the draft that we can pick up. But at the same time, there's a lot of corners that are overlooked this year, this upcoming draft, that I feel like will fall into the later rounds. There's a kid from Iowa, corner turn receiver. He's like 6'4". I watched some of the tape. He's very coachable. The Siobhan Reveal kid can drop. You know, I just feel like that we can get a lot of corners later in the draft, especially if there's a run on corners at the end of the first round.
I like the Revelle idea a lot. That's the kid from East Carolina. Great. He's like 6'2", long arms. Had a knee injury in September, so he's coming off an ACL. And if you trust that he's going to recover and, you know, be ready, then I'm all for that. And that, you know, I've seen him mocked at 30. Like that, the reason he might be available at 30 is the injury. But maybe more realistically, he's a Friday pick, and that frees you up. I agree on defensive tackle. Like, I'm not telling you they're not going to pick a D tackle with their first pick. I think it's the corner or that, I think, are the two choices there. That I would be surprised if the first pick is not one of those two positions sitting here right now. But all three, boy, I don't know. They still need a receiver, I think.
Talking about what dark horse position do you think the Bills can take higher than expected in this draft, and tell us why? 803-0550, the number to get on board. Let's go to Tom in West Virginia, as promised, to lead us off. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Steve. How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
Guys, I'd like to bring up I have a question. Say we go into the first round or the second round, and we take one of these shiny new cornerbacks onto the team, obviously, and draft him, like a Harrison or Trey Amos. Is there any chance that the Bills could come back after the draft and sign Rasul Douglas back for another year? I just would feel more secure going in with a seasoned veteran next season, as opposed to putting all our chips on the table with a rookie. Like, you know, God knows we know what happened with Kyrie Elam, but is there any chance that we could bring Rasul back for, you know, for what the team can afford. Is that on the table, or has the Bills totally left him, you know, left him to go, let him go and just got rid of him? You know what I mean? Cut him loose.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, that is absolutely a possibility, Tom. Yeah. They could talk to Rasul anytime they want and bring him back. And they could also do it with any of the other corners that are still out there, the veteran corners. So, yeah, that's absolutely on the table. And, in fact, they're going to have to fill out the roster for training camp. You can bet they're going to bring in probably eight corners.
You can have 90 players.
Yeah,
on
you can
the
have
90
players. They'll bring eight corners in, and a good bunch of them are going to be guys that have been in the league for a minute, and Rasul could be one of them for sure.
Yeah,
so,
he's
that's a possibility.
Still out there in free agency.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I get it.
The Bills have done that before. Yeah. I mean, they've added players from the free agent market after the draft before. A couple of years ago, they did Leonard Floyd and Puna Ford.
Right.
And they did it last year, too. Some of the names are going to escape me. But, yeah, Brandon Bean has done that to fill out a roster. And I would think, come May, the leverage is with the club because the player is still looking for a job.
Right.
So –
unless he's
maybe
got,
it becomes more affordable at that point in time.
Unless
too.
He's got multiple offers on the table, which I doubt.
Yeah.
Or he probably does know what the offers are, and he's got to make a choice between them. It's that simple. Yes, free agent means you're free to sign with whoever, whenever.
Let's go to Gary on a cell next. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
You're talking about, like, a dark horse player. I would say to take him, I'll tell you what I think there also, is Scatterbue, the running back from Arizona State.
Yep.
The reason I'm saying that, they get rid of the tush push, we're going to have a power back. And also the DNA, he never takes a play off. And I'm just thinking of Josh getting a little older. He'll be 30 coming up. They can use this guy, you know, power runs. I mean, if he's there – third, fourth round, and they take him, I'd be kind of excited because he kind of reminds me of Allstott.
I would say there's some Allstott traits in there. He's more of a true running back. Allstott was probably looked more like a fullback, was listed as a fullback, but carried the ball for Tampa Bay for years.
Scatterbo's only 5'9 and a half, too.
Allstott, right, but he's 219 pounds.
Yes, he's thick.
Yeah. All the way through.
Right.
The interesting thing is Scatterbo has decided to not run a 40 time. Didn't do it at the combine, where he just jumped 39 and a half inches and broad jumped 10.3, and then didn't do any other testing at the combine. And then at his pro day, he does not run either. So no one has a time, or at least a current one, on Scatterbue, because I think he knows he's not going to burn up the stopwatch. So why am I going to throw teams off my scent by running a slow 40 time? He is one of the best tackle-breaking backs in the class, maybe this side of Ashton Jeanty. And as we said, stocky, compact build, and he's really hard to wrap up and tackle. He churns his legs through tackle attempts, and he just keeps on going. Mm-hmm. Pretty smooth as a receiver, too, and was a big part of why Arizona State won the Big 12 and went to the college football playoff. So 21 rushing touchdowns last year. I mean, that's hard. You can't knock it. Now, the one knock on him, 10 fumbles, 5 drop passes this season. So ball security is an issue for him, and I think it's partly because he's such a squatty, compact frame. It's almost like he can't carry the ball high enough.
Yeah.
Because he gets it punched out a lot.
I don't know what his arm length is or his, you know, wingspan is, but – his arms are only 30 inches, so he's got short arms he's only 5'9", so his arms are commensurate with his height.
Yep.
That's a name that people know, and I'll say this, he's an impressive guy. When you watched him play, he had some impressive runs.
He's tough as nails.
He's tough as nails. And
I mean, and to the caller's point, he does fit Bill's DNA.
Yeah, I saw him at the combine, and he's a thick dude. I mean, he's going to hold up to it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's a question about that. Plenty of people on hold, but let's go to Butch on the east side. What do you got, Butch?
First of all, gentlemen, thanks so much for taking my call. Good afternoon. I love MSG. I love WGI. It's all the fans are listening and watching. Butch from the east side, love you dearly. My brother's from another beautiful mom. I just got a couple things to say, and I'm going to be real brief because I know you got a lot of callers.
is that we all have our draft books every year this time. We all got our chapters in it, make different scenarios. As you guys already know, I've made a couple scenarios already about James Cook going to Dallas Cowboys. Also made one yesterday about swing for the fences and try to get Travis Hunter. But today, I'm going to go based off what your topic is about a dark horse, and I want to be realistic. And Steve and Chris, you had a couple of callers before, maybe a couple of days ago, stating about the offensive line made a possibility. But when you look at it, we got Cedric Van Pran Granger last year. We got Cyrus Torrance prior to before that. I look at a situation that really can help our team, and I look at a Terrell Booker, Alabama, big lineman come in, could play possibility left guard if need be. And then what Brandon Bean has did in the last 3 years is solidify the, as I call it, the arrow of a head of an offensive line. You got your center, you got Torrance, and you got Booker. Van Green Ranger could play center, and you got a little powerful arrow there that can last for the Bills for maybe for the future. But that's one. The last thing, and thanks so much for taking my call, is this be realistic. Now, we invest in our free agents. We invest in draft picks, money, and capital for this season. But I'm talking about the hypothetical, and I pray to God it doesn't ever happen. What about our number two quarterback if our guy just has a nick and has to be out for a while? Who can carry the torch where our season, all the season ticket holders are not lost for a season? I want Buffalo really to address the number two quarterback position as well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love each and every one of you, and God bless, bro.
That's an interesting scenario because I think people are just scared to even mention it out loud. And right now, the Bills have four quarterbacks on the roster, Steve. Mike White.
Yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, yeah, to me, if Josh goes down, so does the season. We're done. See ya. I mean, there's going to be some fun stuff to happen. You're going to watch the team play. It's going to be great. But if Josh goes down, so do their chances. It's that simple. Same thing as if something happened to Sean McDermott. You know, the whole thing goes belly up.
Because you got Mike White, Mitchell Trubisky, Shane Buechele.
That doesn't mean they're not going to win.
And Josh Allen.
That doesn't mean they're not going to win another game or anything like that. They're not going to go 0-for the rest of the season, you know. But, yeah.
I did find it interesting.
It doesn't matter who their backup is. I'm not saying it doesn't matter because the guy has a job to do.
I did find it interesting that late last season, after spending most of the year on the practice squad, they signed Mike White to a futures contract, locking him up on the roster for this year. And Trubisky is in the last year of his 2-year deal. And if the Bills get tight on the cap, you know, Trubisky could be a consideration to create some cap space. You're not keeping four quarterbacks on your 53-man roster. The Bills traditionally have kept two.
You keep
with
two,
one on the practice squad.
You got one on the practice squad. I'm like you, Brownie. I think the fact that they kept Mike White and signed him to a deal says, I think that, and let me just be honest, I think Josh picks the guy. And
yeah,
I think Josh picked
same
the
draft
guy.
Class
and
those
and
two
I
guys.
Also, yeah, and I also think Josh. It's I've said it a million times. That guy's job isn't to play quarterback; it's to help Josh play quarterback better.
Yeah,
and so that's what you're looking at. And if Josh says, "Hey, this guy's really helped me. I like having him in the room," you can bet the guy's going to be in the room, right? Particularly a guy like Mike White, who's not breaking the bank. So
yep,
yeah, I yes. There's a chance they could take a guy. It'll be day three, no question. And the guy will be toolsy. He'll be a big, strong-arm dude. Or he will be a leader, a great decision maker. He'll be one of those guys, one or the other. But he's going to have a trait that really sets him apart if they do that. The backup. That's true. That is a dark horse thing, and I wouldn't be adverse to that in the third day of the draft getting a guy, but. If something happens to Josh, you can, kiss it all goodbye.
Let's go to Ken in Tampa next. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
So, I think value is so important. I remember watching last year's draft, and we trade out of the worthy pick, and I kept yelling at the screen. I'm texting my friends, probably like a lot of folks on, that are listening right now. I'm texting Cooper DeGene, 16th best rated player in the draft. Such value. And then Edgerrin Cooper was another guy that, you know, I was texting about.
Yeah.
And both guys look like they're going to be Pro Bowl players next year. I mean, unless Cooper was a Pro Bowler last year. But I think when we're looking at, you know, draft picks, in a team like Buffalo, you have to be, how good do you have to be to slide into one of those starting roles? You know, I mean, we have an elite team. It's not like we're not a team that didn't end up in, you know, the AFC Championship game or, you know, in the playoffs the past how many years. So this isn't an easy team to make. So I think that we use draft capital to move around a little bit, grab those elite players if they're there, either the kids from Ohio State that are coming out, Hendricks or forgot the other kid from Ole Miss that transferred, but elite players. Also, what about trading a couple of picks, putting together a deal, maybe even Coleman in our number one, and go after Marvin Harrison? I mean, Arizona's a team that could use picks. Arizona's a team that could you know, get a lot better with a couple number twos and a number one for a guy like Marvin Harrison, which now you have an X receiver. Shakir gets better, and so does our tight ends. You know, Kincaid, I think, is going to have a breakout year. So, anyways, that was my thought.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks,
it's a good
Tim.
Move. You'd have to give up a bunch to get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., but I get the idea. There are some teams.
Yeah, but he didn't have a great year. I mean, he didn't have the year that Neighbors had.
Right, but I don't think that means they've given up on him. That's the point.
Yeah.
And when you – he was a top five pick, and teams usually don't sour on a top five pick in 1 year. Arizona has. They did it with Josh Rosen because they picked Kyler Murray the very next year with the first pick. So I can't say they haven't done it before, but I would be stunned if they moved Marvin Harrison for just about anything you could dream up under the sun.
So, I mean, you give him Keon and this year's 30th,
happening.
And it's not happening.
They just drafted him last year.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. One of the reasons he didn't have such a great year is probably because of the quarterback.
He also I think he missed some time in the preseason as well. Arizona didn't play their starters a ton in the preseason. So,
yeah, I get the idea, and if you could make it, I would do that deal too, but Arizona won't.
It sounds
it's
great.
It's that simple.
I just don't know how realistic
Arizona
it is.
Arizona won't do that. If they would, there are other teams other than the Bills who have a higher pick than number 30 who would do it as well. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. Give them Keon Coleman, who's another number one or number two draft pick. You think that tilts the scale, but other teams would make a better deal than that to get Marvin Harrison Jr. So,
and Arizona's picking 16th. I mean, it's not like they're picking 28th or something. They're going to be right in that sweet spot where the meat and potatoes of the draft starts.
Yeah.
Like, they're in an ideal position there. And not for nothing, they've done some nice things in free agency as well to help their pass rush with some signings there. They helped their offensive line a little bit. I'm going to pull up my file on them right now. So they have a veteran backup in Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. They signed Josh Sweat in free agency, along with Calais Campbell and Dalvin Tomlinson, the cast-off from Cleveland. And then they signed linebacker Rakeem Davis-Gaither from Cincinnati, and they got an offensive lineman to serve as a backup, all while, you know, re-signing some of their own, like Baron Browning, who's a good pass rusher. So, and L.J. Collier. So I think that they see their build a little bit differently than maybe you do, Ken, and that's why I think they'd be very reluctant to move on from a guy that they believe is going to be a cornerstone piece for them. That's
it's not that it's not a great idea. It's an incredible idea for the Bills, but you're not going to get Arizona to say yes to that.
That's the issue.
That would be my issue.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo. Let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout. I just did not feel compelled to talk over that this time for some reason. I didn't want to do it. Glad to have you with us here on this Thursday. A nice, cold, wintry April Thursday that we're dealing with here. I am the Bulldog. Mike is out today. Zach Jones along for the ride as well. And happy to welcome in Our man Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. And Sal, I just saw your tweet, and I'm I am instantly intrigued. Because I know you, you're a pro. You wouldn't bring nonsense to the table. If I ever joined your Extra Point show, not that I've ever been asked, if I ever did, I probably would bring garbage. I'm just telling you, I can't be trusted, but you, I have faith in.
Okay, well, first of all, three things. I'm glad you said that. I've never wanted to reach out to you because I know you have your own show in the afternoon. I don't want to bother you, so that's why. So you know what, though? That's a good idea. We're going to have you on the Extra Point show soon. Number two, you didn't want to talk over that because the bullpen always makes fun of me for the hey, 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 instead of hey, hey. Okay. I get it. I know. It was in the moment. Bullpen. That was Dallas. It was in Dallas. It was Thanksgiving. And it was just crazy. The Bills were winning. They've arrived. And I'm like, the fans are coming down and they're doing their hey, 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 hey. But I said, hey, 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 hey. Right? And I did it like that. And it became a thing in the bullpen. Yes. I get it. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That and I try not to get lost in there. But I feel like a lot of the chatter about Italy has died down. I don't know. I
think so. Well, Italy's done. You can't go anymore, bullpen, okay?
Oh, all right.
You can't.
It's closed. That's why. It makes sense.
I wish.
It
you
makes
missed
sense
the deadline
then,
on
that.
That.
But I did see somebody asking if they could sit next to you on the plane or something today.
I know.
Anyway, I know. Owen. Okay. Owen handles that on the morning show. Like, G is handling it right now. And he is... It's so weird. Like, he's just started here, and I'm happy for him. He's enjoying the job. Jaron Joe bring him in, and he's talking on the air sometimes, and it's good for him. I'm proud of him. He comes in the door the other night after doing some coaching at Nichols and is telling me about some guy he had to ban or something, and I'm like, dude, I've spent, like, 30 years of my professional life avoiding this kind of crap. I do not need to hear this from you over dinner. I mean, I don't want to tell you to your face, you're my kid, I love you. I don't care, but I don't care. I don't want to know about some guy said something mean to Jeremy about egg salad or something. I mean, what am I doing? I'm in my home here. I don't need this. Anyway, bullpen.
It just shows
bullpen.
You how long we've been
we,
doing
we
this.
Love
and how
you.
Old
we love
are,
we love
right?
that you care so much, bullpen. That's really yes it does. All right. So what's your
okay?
What's your
Twitter mystery
drama?
I have
mystery?
Brought this up to you before, and I'm not kidding. This truly bothers me. I don't understand what's going on here. I brought this up to you before, but I'm going to ask you again.
Okay.
Why can you not tag Paul? You write at PM1717. It is not a link. It just shows up as text.
Oh.
And it bothers me every single time. Paul have you like muted or blocked or something like that? Is it your end? I'm not kidding you. This is not even like a bit. It bothers me every single time I see it. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
That I see and it draws my attention.
I don't know. I have noticed that. I don't remember you ever bringing this up to me, but that, you know, I don't remember a lot of things, Sal. I'm going to be 60 in July. I mean, this is what happens.
In passing one time, I think I did.
Yeah.
Every time I see it.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. It could be something on my end, but I don't think I have any
weird. But you tag me just fine.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I have any weird settings. I don't know. Maybe I swear too much.
Okay, like you guys, who's producing the bullpen right now? Is that
G is in there? Yeah,
G needs to clip that right there. Maybe I swear too much. What you just said, that's great. I don't know. It is a mystery to me, Paul. So what's happening is, and maybe we can have some bullpen sleuths. Okay, help us out here.
Oh boy.
So what I'm talking about is when Bulldog tweets about the show and who's coming on, he says, "I got Sal Sports. I got Brian WGR." And then whenever he has Paul on, and this could be multiple times a week, whatever, he writes at PHAM1717, but it doesn't show up as an actual tag.
That's so funny because
it just shows up as a text, and it's weird.
When I do it, he comes right up just like you and Brian and anyone else that I tag, you know, guests, the other guests that we have on, Trapasso or whomever, and it shows up in that blue font, right, on the tweet. But when I go to do that with Paul, I type in at PH and his account shows up and I click it and it fills it in there and it doesn't. I don't know why it does not link to it. I think
do you always do it on the same device?
No, I definitely don't. Today I did this on my iPad. Yesterday I would have done this from in here, but you know what, now you've got me. I want to try from my desktop here.
Okay,
to see. I'm gonna bear with us here, folks.
Yeah, just write test or something. This bothers me. And by the way, just I'm reading the bullpen right now. AC man, we're not talking about Paul blocking me. Paul does not have me blocked.
No.
I can actually tweet at Paul. We're talking about Bulldog here, how he, for some reason, when he writes his name in, when he writes his tag, it does not show up as a link, as a tag. It just shows up as text. And it has bothered me. This has been going on for well over a year. I know that.
I just did it. And from the desktop in the studio, it shows up as a link.
Okay,
so
we're on to something here. It's something with the device.
It's something I have. This is a newer iPad, but I got it for Christmas. But you've noticed that you brought this up not within the last few months, right? So it's happened before I had current iPad. All right, here one more test. We're gonna try to solve this. I'm gonna try my phone.
Okay.
To see
do the same thing here.
What happens if I do this with my phone? Hang on, I fat
this is
fingers.
Great. I love this. We're solving the mystery as we speak here, and I think it's device related. Then is what it is.
Well, for some reason, it would not let me send a tweet from my phone just now. It said it went right to drafts, which is a little weird. I don't know why it would be doing that, but let's try one more time. Yeah, it won't let me.
Now, that could simply be an internet issue.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah, I don't know what. But it won't let me do anything from my phone right now. Well, let me see if it'll let me send a regular. I'll just send a without a link, without a Paul there. And that went through fine just now on my phone.
Okay.
I just did a test.
I see.
Without Paul tagged, and it went.
You just wrote test.
When I tried to tag Paul, my phone would not send the tweet.
The mystery deepens.
I thought we were going to solve it there. It's just my iPad, but now it's even weirder. This is turning into a labyrinth, Sal. This is like the White Lotus or something we got going on here. I don't know what is happening. I'm so sorry I referenced that show. I watched it. It trapped me. I had to see it through to the end, but I hated every second of it. Anyway, well, so I don't know then. I don't know what is going on. That's weird.
It's kind of weird. It's definitely weird for sure. So, all right. Well, I mean, look, we've wasted 12 minutes here, but it wasn't wasted. It was, you know, I mean, I didn't think you brought me on to talk about this, but I thought it was important enough to bring up here with you because it's been bothering me for so much. So thank you for indulging me. And I'm glad we did because now we have something we actually have to look into.
My iPad just now would not let me send the same tagging Paul. It's doing the same thing my phone just did. But earlier it let me. Wow, that's so strange. All right, let's set the devices down, kids. All right, it's school time. No more phones, and we'll get to work here. But thank you for bringing this dilemma to my attention. I don't know. We'll probably get a lot of different ideas about what it is that's happening. But I don't know. That's strange. All right, T.J. Watt, Sal. I burned an hour of my life talking about T.J. Watt before I realized at like 3:55. When I wanted to trade for Myles Garrett, I wanted the Bills to trade Greg Rousseau and not sign him. But they've done that already, and they've added Joey Bosa. TJ Watt's probably not realistic for this team, but what do you make of what might be happening in Pittsburgh with cryptic Instagram posts from their star pass rusher?
Well, I think TJ Watt wants a new contract. I mean, he sees what's happening with these pass rushers, right? And he's one of the best in the league. And obviously, we're talking about Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, and now Trey Hendrickson, who I'm sure at some point is going to get a new deal. TJ Watt has 1 year left on his deal. He is getting paid $21 million as a base salary. He has a cap hit of $30 million. You look at where things have gone with these players. At his age, he still has years left, I would think, or he would think he would. Now, I know he's had some injuries. This will be his 31-year-old year. He's only, a year and a half older than Myles Garrett. So I think he just wants a new contract. Now, the actual act of posting that, who knows, right? We always say that these days. I try not to read too much into it, but this is the way that, you know, younger people than us behave and to communicate a lot of times. And I'm not downing that in any way. I just think we have to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. But it could also just, it could literally mean something with his own family or his friends or anything, right? We don't know that. But I do think that there's enough context clues here to think there's something going on that he's feeling like he needs to send some sort of message to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Do you think I arrived at the right conclusion by the end of the first hour of the show that it's probably not a realistic fit for the Bills? Or would you want to engage in a conversation about the merits of trading for TJ Watt.
I agree with that for the same reason I would say about Trey Hendrickson. I just think on top of the assets you have to give up, you have to pay them. And I don't think there's any way the Bills are in a position to do that again now. And I say again, they've already signed Joey Bosa. They've spent pretty much their cap money. They have a little bit left. They have to take care of their draft picks. They're just not in a position. Now, is there always a way? Sure. When you are that willing, you'll find a way to maneuver things to make something happen. But you still have to be able to account for what's happening down the road. And what has Brandon Bean said many times to us over? And what have his actions spoken to us this year? They are doing whatever they can to make sure they try to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years by with this core and paying these guys. They've moved enough money with these guys already they've extended. We're talking Khalil Shakir, Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard. They've shaved off as much as they can off this year's salary just to be able to have them going forward. It's going to be even more challenging to be able to do that. So I just don't think it's realistic from that standpoint. On top of the fact that, you know, what kind of assets are you giving up, and would the Pittsburgh Steelers really be willing to deal him to a team like the Buffalo Bills, who are already ahead of them in the conference?
Yeah. What do you think? I started at pick 30 because I thought that at least that, you know, that would hurt, I think, for Bills fans, right? Anyone would want to steal a guy like this and, you know, then find your way to working out the contract and fitting it under the cap and all the business machinations that have to go on with it. Do you think multiple assets like Myles Garrett we were speculating about? We never got to find out, of course, because he re-signed in Cleveland. Or do you think like a single first-round pick, even a late first-round pick, could get that done?
I guess the way I would look at it is I think he might cost less than what Trey Hendrickson would cost. And to me, it's only because of the injury history and the age. Well, actually, they're both 30 years old. They're both right around the same age. But you look at the production over the last couple of years. Trey Hendrickson, it's unbelievable, really, when you think about how great he's been. Bulldog, he has 17 and a half sacks over each of the last 2 years, right? I mean, like, he has just been so incredibly productive. You look at Watt, yeah, 11 and 19, but he's had some injuries. I guess last year he did play all the games. I didn't realize. Last year, that's good. He hasn't been as injured.
What I think happens there is you look at the games played and you go, oh, he played them all. But in 23, he was hurt for the playoffs. Like he missed that playoff meeting with the Bills. So I think when Bills fans talk about T.J. Watt, they will get to injuries, but he's not Joey Bosa. Like he missed a lot of 22, but his career games played, I mean, it's 15, 16, 16, 15, 15, 10, that 1 year, 17, 17. But the injury in the playoffs, I think, sort of clouds it a little bit. But I don't think he's as much of an injury thing as maybe a lot of fans feel like he is. He's not probably Bosa at all, I don't think.
Yeah, probably right. And I'm only bringing up the injuries more of the, like, what the assets would be to get him. Mm-hmm. But I've felt that maybe a little bit less than what it would take to get Hendrickson considering all that, but maybe not. I guess they both be around the same. I just think it's a tough lift. It's a tough lift for anybody to make a deal like that happen. And then when you talk about a team like the Bills, where they are salary cap wise, it makes it even tougher. Now, sure, would he be a fit on the roster? Of course. Where would T.J. Watt not be a fit on a roster, right? Of course he would be. Where would Trey Hendrickson not be a fit on a roster? Of course he would be. These are premier players at one of the most premier critical positions in all of football. So if you could get your hands on him, that's fine. But to me, it looks like he's gauging what's happening around him. He has 1 year left in his deal. And look, I mean, he is going to be 30. He has had some injuries. If T.J. Watt goes into next season with 1 year left and he does have an injury, I mean, we all know that that's the nightmare scenario for these players, right, at this age. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden, you don't get paid, so you better do it now and strike while the iron's hot and strike while you can so you can get that money in case something does happen, you are still secure.
Yeah, he absolutely should get a new contract this offseason, the player he's been. I also think from Pittsburgh's side of this sale, they should finally find their way to tearing the Band-Aid off, right? Like, if I were them, a 30-year-old player that could net me a first-round pick, maybe at the least, maybe even more than that, with where they are on their timeline, again, at ground zero at quarterback, I would absolutely. Now, if they're trying to sign Aaron Rodgers, they might be deluding themselves into thinking that they're going to be better than they've been with Wilson or Fields or Kenny Pickett. And, like, okay, Rodgers has had a better career than all of those guys, even Russell Wilson. He's the closest. But in his current state, I don't know. I just think they're delusional. I think you should start rebuilding is what they should do. They should get assets to try to find their way to a quarterback that's not 40 coming off Achilles tears.
I totally agree with you. Here's the problem when I look at them. But that being said, if you're going to go with someone younger than what you said, maybe you have to almost rebuild. I think they're caught in a spot where really the only thing that makes sense for them is Rodgers. Because otherwise, who are you going with and who is playing quarterback for you with a roster that, oh, by the way, has a, what will be, what, 36-year-old Cam Hayward. A, how old is, I think, 29-year-old Minkah Fitzpatrick. Right. Not super old, but he's getting up there, right?
Yeah.
Watt, who's over 30 years old. Like, look at where they are with their age and their timeline. And, like, if you're going to do this, it's either one or the other. I don't think you can kind of middle it here. I don't think you can win. You have to get a guy like Rodgers, as much as that kind of seems weird to say, mm-hmm. because it's better than the alternative of a younger guy with the roster you already have. I think this is the window. You got to kind of do it now.
Yeah. You know what? I like you as a counterpoint there with that. Like I dog them because they can't get quarterback right, but they do have, you know, Watt, Fitzpatrick, Hayward, like you said, and they might be viewing mm-hmm. this as a last stand for that group.
Right.
So I guess I still think they're wrong because, you know, I just don't think it's going to work. But still, I get why they might want to make that bet. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline for just a couple of more minutes here. And I know you're clearing out of here for a while. You'll be back for our mm-hmm. draft special next Thursday.
I will.
So yeah. This is it for a week. So we've only got a couple of minutes here. Do you got a guy? I don't know that when we get to the day of the draft, I think we'll talk like this without you. Talk about this with you. I meant to say, but I don't know that I've asked you 2 weeks out. Do you got a favorite idea for the Bills at this point at 30?
My favorite idea is to get if they stay there, is to draft the best available defensive tackle. I just think that is what they need to do. But I'm not dismissing drafting a corner at that spot. I think it's one or the other. So let me rephrase. The best idea for the Buffalo Bills is to pick one of those two positions and no other position. That's it. Like, to me, there's no other position they should be picking at number 30 than either defensive tackle or corner. But I think this draft has good enough defensive tackles that you're going to find a really good player at number 30, which is why I like that position a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I do think that corner can be in the mix depending on who's there, right? If someone you literally like starts falling, that's fine. But I think it's got to be a defensive tackle or a corner. And I think you have to find a defensive tackle that fits and checks the boxes that, to me, what the Bills have kind of been talking about, McDermott especially, which is bigger, stronger, stout, play the one technique, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody who is really an upgrade over Daquan Jones, let's be honest. That's really what they're looking for. They need to pair somebody with Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver is so much more at his best when he has someone who can be that guy. And Daquan Jones has been a nice player for the Bills. But he's not that type of player to really anchor your defensive line going forward.
Maybe he was before he got hurt against Jacksonville, mm-hmm. but it seems like he's never been the same, and now he's 34.
Right.
Do you think if it goes right in the draft that he could be a sneaky June 1st cut candidate, or do you think they would have done that already?
I think they would have done that. I have to look at his numbers on that. I think, but it's certainly possible depending on how things go. I think what might save him in that scenario could be Larry Ogunjobi and his suspension, right? I mean, like they go out and sign the guy and they didn't know when they get the guy, they don't really know about the suspension until all of a sudden he brings it to him. And obviously we know how that worked out. They wound up signing him, but that really could have an impact here. So it's funny. I really like Derek Harmon of Oregon. I think he's kind of the guy that fits here, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. I just went to Derek Harmon's profile at NFL.com, Lance Zierlein. His NFL comparison, Daquan Jones. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, I like that idea plenty. I do, you know, to me it's close, right? I mean, I think corner, even with the Ogunjobi suspension looming and Jones's age, I still feel like corner... Like, there's guys here that they can plug in to play a defensive tackle. I guess Dane Jackson is that at corner, but man, that's a pretty low ceiling, I think. So corner feels more urgent. It feels very much like the Elam Benford year here coming off the 21 season, right? Was that the 22 draft? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we went through the whole offseason and Bean even said after they picked Elam, I heard everybody talk about corner, corner, corner. I feel like that is kind of repeating itself here this offseason. You know, I suppose they're still, with 2 weeks to go, they could grab a guy. Maybe they will wait to pivot to a veteran once the draft comes and goes and they see what they end up, what kind of haul they get, right? If they get a guy mm-hmm. or a couple guys they really like yep. that they feel like they can count on, like somebody's going to be able to man that spot, then there's no need to go sign, bring Rasul Douglas back or pivot to someone else, Asante Samuel Jr. or whatever. What do you, by the way, Sal, as a sidebar, is he just wrecked physically, Samuel Jr.? I feel like it's amazing that he's still on the market.
It feels like that. There's been some stuff coming out about shoulder and neck. You know, and that's always something you have to consider. He's never been a super willing participant in the run game, and I think that really matters to the Bills. They need people who are at least willing, even if they're not. I mean, you know, Kyrie Elam, I don't think was great at it, but I think they saw that he was at least willing to try and go tackle. He wasn't great in physical, and it became a problem that he wasn't able to do it, and that was part of the issue. But I think you have to be willing, and I don't know if they feel Asante Samuel is or anybody, and I think that's why he's still out there. All right, so I'm leaving, and I'll be back in a week. I'll leave you with these thoughts, and I think this is what you can chew on. Just putting everything together, kind of, you know, listening and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Number one, out of the three picks, Bulldog, like, they have three picks in the first two rounds. I would be really surprised, as I sit here today, if they weren't all defense. I think they're all defense.
All defense.
First three picks. Hmm. All defense. I would be surprised if they go wide receiver, unless it's somebody they really love. But as I sit here today, it's all defense to me. Number two, I'm thinking about what they said about Larry Ogunjobi. Why did they sign him? There was nobody really left on the market for them to sign. That gets me to they're drafting a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. There's no other veterans out there they're bringing in. That is not the same at corner. Corner is Rasul Douglas is there. Stephon Gilmore's out there. Heck, Tre'Davious White is out there. These guys know your system.
Right.
I'm not advocating and saying, but like what the Bills have always operated at, in the secondary for people who understand their system. Right, it's not the same necessarily up front as it is on the back end. So that's why I get to defensive tackle is more of a priority than corner because you can probably bridge the mm-hmm. gap with a veteran as you bring a corner along. But I do think they need a young corner who they think they can compete for a spot.
Get a load of this guy. He comes with an interesting social media question for me specifically about why Paul Hamilton doesn't show up as being taggable in tweets when I tag Paul, and now mm-hmm. you're leaving me. You're setting up like the next hour of the show by dropping that. You're the best, dude.